This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging with you guys on this Monday night. As always, VSiN.com/watch. The VSiN Watch app is where you can see us. And you can listen to us live on Sirius XM channel 158. We're sweating out all the Major League Baseball. Our VSiN primetime game of the night about to get underway on the south side of Chicago. Both Will and I are together. It's a show bet. We like the first five under between the Yankees and the White Sox. Under 4.5. Had to pay -115 on the juice. So hopefully the pitchers Noah Schultz and Max Fried show up and show out, at least in the early going on the south side. But we'll keep you posted on all the other scores happening around Major League Baseball as we progress throughout this 8 o'clock Eastern hour. But joining us to kick off this hour, he is the DraftKings Sportsbook Director, our good friend here at the network, Johnny Avello, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. Johnny, always a pleasure seeing you. Good catching up per usual. How was the weekend for DraftKings? And obviously, yesterday, Jackson Koivin won the 3M Open. We saw the DraftKings Twitter account tweeting that one better put a $108,000 bet on Koivin at 37-1 to win just over $4 million. That's a massive, massive bet there. I mean, what was that like watching that over the weekend and seeing that one get home?
Yeah, and it happens. I mean, you know, you catch these guys way after the tournament starts, and you can see that things might be looking up for them, at least to play well through the weekend, and then, you know, they get away with a win. So, yeah, nice bet, nice payoff. But you asked me how the weekend went. It's kind of boring, Femi. That's what it is. It's kind of boring. We come off of, you know, the March Madness tournament, then the playoffs, and then the World Cup, which was amazing. And now we've got this lull here of baseball, a little bit of golf, you know, other sports going, of course. But it's kind of a downer right now. We're off our high and just waiting for the next major event to take place, which will revive us again and have just a weekend from weekend major business. So that's what we're looking forward to now at this point.
Johnny, what was it like from the book's perspective monitoring LeBron? Figure, all right, if he goes to Cleveland, we'll move the number from this to this. If he goes to Miami, we'll move the number from this to this. Philly was not really expected. Over-adjust, expecting enthusiasm on whoever LeBron signs. Take us through that process, the mechanics of LeBron signing and what the new number moved from on Friday morning.
We did all that, Will. You know, we had Golden State the favorite. Money was coming in on Golden State. Then Miami was the favorite. And then the Cavs were the favorite. Then Miami was the favorite. And then Miami was a bigger favorite at -$2. You know, and when I looked at the top six teams where he might go, Philadelphia did look attractive to me. He's already been with the Cavs. They don't have all the pieces. They have Harden, who's, you know, getting older, and does he really want to play with that, you know, type of one and two guys on top? Then there was Miami, who he's been there already, and they didn't have all the sufficient pieces, but Philly did. And, I think it was a good choice on his part. What I was shocked at was we should have put a prop up on how much money he was going to make, because I think people would have went way over the money that he got. But, I think he's in a comfortable place now. He's going to end his career here. And I think he's got a chance to get another title, at least one of the next 2 years. But as far as, you know, us putting up his next team, we were all over the place and really had to keep a close eye on it. And eventually the money was spread out pretty well throughout that book.
Yeah, 76ers now 9-1 to win the NBA title over at DraftKings. So I'm assuming it's just been all Sixers money over the last 2 days here or so since they made the decision on Friday?
No, not really. Okay. They're taking some money, yes. But, you know, basketball right now, everything is positioned what those numbers probably should be with what those teams currently have. So at 9-1, that's not as attractive as 22-1. So there is some money there, and there was some money prior to some people taking shots. But at 9-1, I'd say it's kind of like take the summer off from the NBA for now.
Johnny, how do you think this works? How do you think this plays out, sticking with LeBron? I know you could say, you know what, there's only one ball. It's a lot of guys that expect shots, expect touches, maybe not enough shooting. Do you just, you know, as a viewer, as a fan, do you think this is going to work? And what do you expect here from the Sixers coming up this season?
Well, I think LeBron doesn't mind taking a semi back seat. He doesn't want to go all the way to the trunk, but he doesn't mind going to the back seat just so he can win a title. You don't know about Joel Embiid. You know how he'll try to play every other night. You know, will he be healthy enough to make it through entire season plus playoffs? I don't know, but everybody else that they have, you know, Brown and Maxey, I think they're in pretty good shape, and I think they'll get some help from the bench. So I think it's a good – that's why I think it's a good spot. I don't think LeBron has to be the star. He just wants to participate and win another championship.
This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill, hanging out with Sports Betting Hall of Famer, DraftKings Sportsbook Director Johnny Avello here in the 8 o'clock Eastern hour. Let's transition over to the NFL. The Rams, of course, are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Everyone is waiting for them to bring future Hall of Famer Aaron Donald back into the fold. I know Sean McVay, their head coach, was having to answer questions about that at his opening press conference to start off training camp. Any interesting bets that you guys have seen now that we're getting closer and closer to all 32 teams now reporting to training camp and the football season being about 7 Sundays away?
They're taking some shots on some teams like Cincinnati at 20-1, Cowboys 25. They're going a little bit deeper down in the pile. Rams are short at plus 550. And, you know, the Rams deserve to be the favorite, but you can't hand them the trophy already, guys. I mean, you know, is Stafford going to make it through the entire season? And if Stafford doesn't, they're going to go to a rookie. You know, how far that kid didn't play – played like a dozen college games in his career. So not exactly sure what they do if their main quarterback gets hurt. Yeah. Do they have a lot of great players that can get the job done? Yes, but a very, very difficult schedule. So not betting really the Rams that heavily at that price, plus 550, going down a little bit further, some money taking a shot with the past champ Chiefs at 16-1. You know, Mahomes says he's back to normal, and some people are buying into that. There's certainly some money going, you know, teams like Minnesota, Giants. They love the Giants at, you know, 70-1. I don't know if this is the year the Giants get it done, but I think they're going to be pretty good and have the best team they've had in a long time. But, you know, take a shot, new coach, high price, anything could happen, I guess. They're looking for lightning in the bottle there.
All right, Johnny, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Preseason about, what, 9 or 10 days away. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Is it a pain in the neck trying to keep up with who's going to play, who's not? What's it like from a books perspective trying to put out a fair number and attract action on both sides while also staying ahead of the better?
I like it. It's tough. The limits are certainly lower. The swings go from 3.5 one side to 3.5 the other, which doesn't happen during a normal season. So it is difficult, certainly, to book. But I like it. And, you know, one of the other issues with it is that some guys don't even play any of the games. Some guys don't even get a tune-up. Now, what that does, how that reflects on the season, sometimes the defenses are ahead of the offenses, and I think we've seen that over the last couple of years. So it's changed the main season also. But, you know, I've been booking a bit preseason for many years. I think there's value there for bettors. You know, if you're paying attention, keeping an eye on who's playing, who's got good, sufficient backups, I think there's some money to be made.
Have you seen bets for week 1 already in the NFL? I know the NFL, they're not messing around with the slate, like Patriots, Seahawks. Right off the top, we have the Australia game coming up on a Thursday with Patriots, Seahawks Wednesday, Niners, Rams in Australia Thursday. Anything that stood out to you with week 1 bets, or the bettors kind of just waiting to see how teams make their way through training camp in the preseason?
There's so many there on some – certainly that first game, you know, Patriots, Seahawks. You know, we end with that game. We start with that game the next season. There is some money there for sure, but – there is no one side that's, you know, really heavy. I, you know, we took some sharp money on some sides, moved a half a point, and that's where it ended. So not a lot to really talk about as of now. There are just other things. There were other things to bet, the World Cup, and that took preference. And now that that's over, people start concentrating more on football.
Yeah, it's sort of a betcation for some folks. It was us on here on VSiN Primetime, we're grinding through the baseball. We're not taking any vacations, but I understand some recreational bettors, they show up for the big events. Johnny Avella will show up on any given Monday, I'll tell you that. Sports betting Hall of Famer, DraftKings Sportsbook Director. Johnny, we appreciate the time as always. Be well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Good seeing you guys.
Always a pleasure seeing guy Johnny Avella, who joined us via the Progressive guest line. How about that? Well, they're taking shots on the Cowboys and the Bengals, the two teams with the high-flying offenses, with the defense that are supposed to be improved, but how improved will they be, I think, is the big question there.
Yeah, and I'm interested from a book's perspective, like when you're booking the preseason, you know, Andy Reid comes out and says Mahomes is going to play a drive, a half, a quarter. That's the difference between the line moving, you know, a touchdown or something. I mean, it's got to be so hard to monitor. Not that I ever really feel too bad for the books, but I would imagine that is a nightmare trying to put out a fair number and not get your clock cleaned.
No, and that's a good shout too, in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs, because they typically play their guys. Andy Reid is one of the old school coaches, but with Mahomes rehabbing the ACL, he's full go at training camp, but is he full go when the bullets are live in the preseason? I'm guessing he's likely not going to be playing, at least in the first, maybe the third preseason game. We'll see a little bit of Patrick Mahomes, but definitely not early on in the preseason. All right, we'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll get you caught up on what's going on in Major League Baseball.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason is only a couple of weeks away, and this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing for our football special, which is $175 before the price goes up next week. Get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. Then, on August 3rd, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from VSiN's experts. You'll also get the Fantasy Live Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with all the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits, the prop projections, etc. before the price goes up on August 1st. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. This is VSiN Primetime. We are Femi Bebfe and Will Hill. Thank you to Johnny Avello of DraftKings, who joined us in the last segment, talking all things NBA, NFL, a little bit of PGA Tour as well. As, Will, I think a lot of casual recreational bettors, like, yeah, they're just going to kind of keep the not go too crazy when it comes to the bets right now in the month of July as we're wrapping things up. But NFL training camp, college football right around the corner. Got Big Ten Media Day starting tomorrow in Chicago. So, yes, it is a little bit of a lull right now. Not for us, because we love sweating this stuff nightly. But I think for a lot of folks, maybe a little bit of a lull on the betting calendar.
Yeah, and this is the time of the year people take vacations. People take a little break from betting. Again, not us, but some people. But you got to pay for those vacations. But you know what? I've used this term a lot. World Cup was a great companion by the time the Knicks Spurs ended, and there was a little overlap there. NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup ended. Usually it's like, man, we got a good, you know, couple months, 6 weeks or so until preseason football, which I like the preseason. It drags on a little bit, but I like the preseason. Yeah. That wasn't the case this year. You had the World Cup, 104 matches. It takes you right until, I mean, look, we got, and it's a little later this year for the Hall of Fame game, but it's still just we got like 10 days until
a week from Thursday
is on TV. It was the Cardinals, the Panthers. You can watch it, you can bet it, and then you know we go from there. Not that everyone is completely locked in on the preseason. Again, it does drag a little bit, but the start of football, or at least having football on our TVs, it's not that far away. And once you know the Hall of Fame game is here, That means more preseason games to follow, and that means week zero for college football a couple weeks away. So we're getting there. We're getting there. And again, this is not a time of the year that I wish away. It's like, man, I can't wait to football. I'm bored. I'm whatever. I'm fine. You give me 10, 12, 15 baseball games a day, I'm a happy guy. So all good here. It would just be nice if Jazz Chisholm could catch a ball, because we had a leadoff single. You and I are both on under 4.5 in the first five, Yankees, White Sox. A leadoff single for the White Sox. The runner is dead as anything at second. A complete dead duck. Chisholm drops the ball. The next guy gets a base hit. So instead of one out, nobody on, now all of a sudden we're in trouble. First and third, nobody out, but a big strikeout on a full count from Freed on a pretty nasty slider. Now we can maybe get out of this with a run. Who knows? You get a double play, you get no runs. So it's as much as we love betting baseball, man, betting baseball, it takes thick skin, does it not?
Oh, it 100% does. It does. Like, this is not for the faint of heart here, betting on Major League Baseball. Like, 1 second, you're looking really good. Like, 1 second ago, I was like, hey, like, you know, the Mets are up 3-1. Well, Ozzie Albies is going to go deep out to left center for a two-run shot. Now it's 3-3. Like, it's just like, that's just kind of how things roll when you're betting Major League Baseball. So hopefully Fried can take care. Like, let's just strike out Montgomery. Let's strike out whoever's batting in the five hole as well. Like, I don't want to see a ball in play after what Jazz Chisholm did. Like, Fried, get us home. At least get us out of this inning. And hopefully we can recover and get back on track here. But runners on the corner, one away, Colson Montgomery at the dish. Batting .218, so it's not like he's lighting the world on fire. But unfortunately, I don't want to say too much of that, because usually when you start to throw shade at a guy, they take you deep. So hopefully Max Fried can get this done for us here on AVs in primetime.
I'll settle for a run. I'll sign for a run right now.
You'll settle for a run?
Under 4.5 in the first five, I'd sign for a run. 1-0. We'll go to the second. We'll get the top of the order out of the way. We'll work towards more of the middle, the bottom of the order. And you know what? You avoid disaster. You don't want that 3-run homer right off the bat where you're pretty much dead and you got to just sit there with no margin for error. One run's not going to absolutely kill you. So the way Fried is working here, now a 3-0 count.
Yeah, it's not great.
You don't want this. You don't want to just add gas to the fire here and load the bases where one swing of the bat, a double's 3-0, a homer's 4-0. You know what? Get your sack fly. I'll take battle back in the count, get a sack fly, have it 1-0. We'll go to the second and we'll just we'll kind of go from there.
Usually I would say, let's see how this plays out. But like, now that there's no Judge, there's no Bellinger, the Yankees lineup is not like super strong. So yeah, I would sign in blood for just 1-0 after one. I think I would like 1-0 after one, just sign up. Boom. Let's go play four more innings and see how this goes, as opposed to getting greedy and hoping that somehow Max Fried can get out of this jam. But 3-1 is the count after Montgomery fouled that off. Like, it's just like this is the pitch right here, isn't it? Like, oh man, that's a great sinker right there. So we got him to swing and miss. So now we're full. Fried has worked it full. Can he give us something good right here? Either throw some junk, make him swing at that. Can you throw something low, make him ground into a double play?
I think I'd go breaking ball, because this kid's aggressive. He's a young player. He's aggressive. He was swinging 3-0. A lot of not just young hitters, but hitters in general don't like swinging 3-0. He swings 3-0. He takes a big cut on 3-1. He swings and misses. He's being very aggressive. I think a breaking ball, if you can land it and locate it in the zone, kind of use that aggressiveness against him, maybe you can get him to swing and miss. Or you know what? Even if you start it close to the zone and you get it a little out of zone, looks like he's in swing mode. So to me, a breaking ball would be effective here. So full count, we'll see what Fried goes with.
Oh my goodness.
It's a fastball and it finds a hole. Man, we got a double, we got a ground ball.
Did he get him at
just what we were looking for in terms of a possible double play, a throw to third, and he's safe. So now first and third, one out, a run in. We got our ground ball, which is all you can hope for there. Unfortunately, you found a hole. Now we got first and third, one out. So early trouble for your boys here. So we're sweating out this first five under.
Yeah, don't like that one. Look at the live market at DraftKings. It is live totals 9.5. White Sox, of course, minus 248 now that they have the lead. Yankees plus 184. I don't know if they have a live first five market. Let's see if they have that. I don't think they have a live first five market. At least I can't find it in time. But
they probably do. While you look for it, though. Boy, he might be off the bag there with the tag on.
At third?
We missed the tag on the guy on third. Yeah, I don't know. Are we challenging that one there?
Please.
Because he's safe on the initial tag. The tag just gets missed. But the runner does not stay on third. The foot, it's being blocked there. The foot's off the bag. The tag is on him. That should be a challenge. in and out. We'll see if Aaron Boone, the analytics team there, is awake for the Yanks. Yeah, do the headset thing.
Do the headset.
What was frustrating, Femi, not only did we get the ground ball, we got it right. Like the second baseman, yeah, Chisholm, was shielded over, and the first baseman was right there, and it somehow finds a hole. I don't know what we're doing, how we're not challenging that. What is going on? How is that not a challenge?
They don't want the out? I guess they don't want the out. I don't know. Live total in the first five is 5.5 now, by the way. So that's where we're at. So not looking great. We're a full run higher. We did not challenge what was pretty clearly Murakami out. He was off the bag, but we're just going to keep rolling, I guess. You know, who cares? Not like we're playing a game and keeping score. So they challenged. Did they just challenge his pitch? Now they want to challenge. They want to do the ABS. Like, get out of here. I mean, it's a strike. So like they'll win it, but like what, you don't want to challenge the out, but you want to challenge if it's 0-1 or 1-0.
Boy, I'm missing something there. I'm missing something.
I saw what you saw. I thought he was out, but
I'm gonna try and check Twitter. I'm getting flashbacks to last Wednesday when you and I were on the air, and the Pirates guy O'Hearn was safe at first. They called him out. We're like, oh, it's gonna get overturned, and then everyone in the world except the first base umpire agreed he was safe. And we're getting we're getting flashbacks that I'm checking to see on Twitter, and at least see if I'm missing something here. I don't know how that's possible.
To go back to that one from last Wednesday, at least the Pirates challenged it. Now, it took them some time. It was like, hey, guys, the game's either going to end or you're going to challenge this. Yeah. Maybe just challenge it. It took them some time. They actually challenged it, but they just got robbed in the challenge. The Yankees didn't even want to challenge this one. They're just like, you know what? We'll just
terrible.
We'll just roll with it. We'll just play.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It, like the mechanism is in place for stuff like that. Challenge it, guys. Like, just do it. But I guess not.
No chance that comes back to burn us, right?
Never. No, never. They're not going to get a sack fly here or anything like that. That's probably not going to happen. Like, goodness gracious.
I don't get it. Yeah, I really don't.
And okay, so that's a strike. So it's 0-2 here. We will see if Fried can hopefully work his way out of this one, and we can just be at 1-0. While we're watching that in New York, it is it's coming down there at Citi Field between the Braves and the Mets. We're probably headed towards some kind of delay after this fifth inning. We'll see what happens, and if maybe this storm can hold off. And of course, right on cue, the sack fly that we all knew was going to happen.
I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Yep. Just give him a run. Just do that. That makes sense. 2-0 White Sox. Yeah. Isn't it fun?
I would love to hear the explanation.
Did Twitter, were people on Twitter asking why they didn't challenge it, or is just nobody paying attention to this game?
One tweet, why the bleep didn't they challenge that? He was clearly out. So yes, I would say yes. Most people agree with us. Yes.
Yeah. Sick. So first five under 4.5. We are a dog to somehow try to get that one home. By the way, it's still the first inning. So those of you who bet the Yerfie and White Sox Yankees, you are home. I want to talk about football when we come back, because I'm sick of talking about this damn game because it's disgusting me right now. More VEASAN Primetime, a positive version, when we return here on VEASAN.
This is VEASAN Primetime on VEASAN, the sports betting network.
The VEASAN NFL betting guide is out now. Whether you're betting futures, win totals, division ratios, MVP, rookie of the year, or Super Bowl odds, our guide helps you get ahead of the market before training camps begin. Guys, training camp begins tomorrow for all 32 teams. Get the damn guide. And when you get it today, you'll get it with our football special for just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is like around Valentine's Day, guys. We haven't even got to Labor Day weekend yet. This is an absolute steal. Head to VSIN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. It is still 3-0 White Sox in the bottom of the first. They get him to go. They rung him up. So that is the end of that inning. Yeah, it's just ridiculous stuff. White Sox have a 3-0 lead. Will and I, our show bet for VSIN Primetime Game of the Night, is the first five under 4.5. Hopefully the Yankee lineup also asleep at the wheel, as the Yankees were asleep at the wheel, not challenging what should have been Munetaka Murakami out at third. Instead, they get a sack fly. They brings him home. They get another RBI. That brings another guy home. It is 3-0. as opposed to just 1-0 or 2-0. Surely that will not hurt us.
Or could have been scoreless because this inning got out of hand. Now, look, Fried gave up hits. We would have been lucky to get out of it with nothing or one. Fried got hit pretty hard. But the inning start, I think Randall Grichuk, Yankee legend who started the year with the Yankees, with a base hit, he is a dead duck at second. It's a good throw by a mile. Chisholm can't handle the throw. And instead of one out, nobody on. And you know what? You probably get out of the inning cleanly. It's man on second, nobody out. And then it's first and third, one out. And all hell breaks loose. So we got it. We got it a couple different ways there. Really tough inning there for an underbetter. Jeez.
I somehow missed Grichuk in the Max Kellerman's all-time Yankee lineup that he was tweeting about earlier this weekend. I didn't see his name listed on that one. Maybe that was
a tough lineup to crack.
It was an omission by Max Kellerman there.
Yes.
Noted Yankee fan. Bases are loaded, though, at Citi Field between the Braves and the Mets. No longer loaded as he goes down swinging. So that'll wrap up the fifth. So baseball's sick, guys. I will say this, though, from a live betting standpoint. The Phillies, who were once down about 5-2, now have a 6-5 lead in the top of the sixth. As this game continues to swing back and forth, the Marlins just can't seem to get right. You know, they just seem like one of those kind of teams. Even when things are going well, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. They are now down 6-5. Philadelphia -267 on the money line. Miami +197. Live total 14.5. So they just got out of the inning as we head to the bottom side of the frame here. But a nice inning there for Philadelphia, who got into a hole because of their stud, Zach Wheeler. Cy Young candidate. Well, now he's like 16-1 to win NL Cy Young as opposed to about 7-1. All it takes is one bad start, folks, and you quickly plummet down a awards race, as this is an awards race that is very hotly contested in the National League. I'm looking at Zach Wheeler right now over at Fangraphs, some of his numbers. You know what? Like, it's not like a complete and utter disaster, but you know, yeah, it'll drop you. You know, it'll definitely drop you down behind the likes of the Mizorowskis, the Burns, the Yamamotos, the Sanchez, the Sales, and all the rest. So that's where things stand.
Isn't this the time to jump in on that though? Like, I think a lot of bettors have the opposite instinct where you see a guy pitch great and go, oh, let me bet him for Cy Young. Where that's maybe, you know, the contrarian element, the contrarian approach of, all right, this guy pitched like crap. Now's the time I'm going to jump in because he's 7-1. And what'd you say? He goes to 16-1.
Yep.
It's three bad innings in July. He comes out when he pitches 8 innings, a 1-run ball. You know what? You're going to forget about these 3 innings come October when it's time to vote. So I think it's hard to do. It's hard to stomach. It's not the way our brains are wired. But you see a guy pitch great. Oh, our guy hits 2 home runs. Let me go bet him for MVP. Where you should probably, and you're a good awards voter, a good awards better.
Yeah, I don't have a vote.
Would you agree? It's probably the op. You don't have a vote. Yes, which would be good if you did. But would you agree the opposite approach is better? Where a guy dips a little bit, has a bad game, has a bad start. And that's when you jump in, as uncomfortable as it might seem.
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. And I think this is going to be my favorite example of this going forward until we get a better example. But think back to last year in December when Matthew Stafford is essentially soiling himself on Monday Night Football against the Falcons. And everyone's like, Drake May is going to win MVP. Oh, my Drake May. If you could stomach it, you could have got Matthew Stafford at some very nice prices because May started to take off as this massive odds-on favorite. Everyone thought Stafford was having his Brock Purdy Christmas night moment against the Ravens. Yeah, right. That only happened because people never wanted to vote for Purdy. That's why that hurt him. People were telling you all throughout November and all throughout the early portion of December that they wanted to vote for their dear friend Matthew Stafford. So just because he had a bad start, didn't matter, did not erase the totality of his 2025 campaign. And then when the votes were all tallied up and we saw Matthew Stafford, first team all pro, and then it's like, well, you know, well, Lamar was first team all pro, so maybe Drake May can do like Josh Allen did. Yeah, they wanted to vote for Josh Allen, guys. Just as they wanted to vote for Matthew Stafford, and Matthew Stafford still won the award, and all the Patriots fans and Drake May bettors were all angry, and rightfully so. I thought Drake May actually had a really nice case on merit, but when you dabble into the awards racket, it's not always about merit. It's about what the voters want to do. So the voters, in this instance, they might want to vote for Zach Wheeler. Now, they're not going to vote for him if Mizorowski continues on this tear. But if it's close, like, they're not going to point back to, well, that July 27th start, Wheeler was bad, so let's give it to Miz. That's not going to matter to Will's point. So just keep that in mind. Usually, like the saying says, like, hey, when there's blood in the streets, that means it's time to buy. Maybe there's blood in the streets, and maybe now is the time to buy a guy like Zach Wheeler, who was drifted out to 16-1 as we have tarps off and going on right now at Citi Field.
And the last thing on that, too, is these voters, you know, they're not like us as bettors where every minute, every hour, every day we're talking, oh, it's Mizorowski. Oh, it's this guy.
No.
A lot of these guys, they have their ballot and they're just, they're doing other things between the start of the year and the end of the year. And they sit down at the end. I know Mike Sando, who's works for The Athletic. He's a voter. He does a great job, takes it very seriously. We should probably get him on soon because I know his quarterback rankings either out or they're coming out.
Should be coming out soon.
Yeah, it's usually that time of the year. End of July is usually when they come out. He says, you know, I don't even think about it. I don't even look at it until the end of the year. And I sit down and I do it all at once. So this idea that these voters say, oh, Stafford's done. Like, they're probably not even thinking about it until the end. And then once they sit down and they decide what to do, this all kind of washes out. And they don't sit there, wow, you know, he had that bad game a couple weeks ago. He's done. So I think that's another mistake we make as bettors, is assuming these voters are thinking about it, you know, every day around the clock, like we are as bettors, kind of, you know, just focusing on these markets.
I want to say during that game, after like Stafford had the bad, like first half, I think it was a little bit poor in the third quarter. Then they made that rally, and then they almost came back and won the game, but they had ultimately lost. But during the game, Joe Buck even said, oh yeah, MVP favorite, Matthew Stafford. Like, the betting market was saying Drake May at that point because Stafford had thrown the interceptions. But Joe Buck just kind of saying, like, offhand, he's not looking at the betting markets. He's just kind of giving you the consensus of what other people in media were saying. He's like, yeah, MVP favorite Matthew Stafford and the Rams struggling tonight against the Falcons. And it's just like, that should give you a glimpse into what people want to do.
Right.
You know, like nobody ever was saying MVP favorite Brock Purdy that year back in, what was it, 2023 or 22, whatever the hell year it was, when Purdy was like close to winning it. Like, it was more so, is Purdy really going to win MVP? That was the question around Purdy. It wasn't whether he is the MVP. So, yeah, it's like, you know, it's some instances it can be a really bad thing. Some instances it cannot be. You just always got to know which way the wind is blowing, which can be tough. And you have to kind of remove your bets from the equation when thinking about it, because we love to root for our bets. I've been there before. I've been the guy that was pounding the table for Tariq Woolen to win Defensive Rookie of the Year over Sauce Gardner when Woolen had all those interceptions. And I had a monster ticket on Woolen. But everyone wanted to vote for Sauce Gardner. And Sauce Gardner had a hell of a year, too. Just didn't have the picks. I thought they would go to the picks. But, hey, you know what? I just ended up being on the wrong side of it. But, yeah, it's you gotta put a little bit of the art with the science when it comes to betting the awards, and also when it just comes to betting in general, I think, as well. It's a good lesson for all of you to know out there who are betting. We began this conversation, though, National Football League, and we'll continue this conversation on the other side. Training camp. Oof. And we are going to have all 32 teams reported for camp, veterans and rookies, tomorrow. Please be warning track power. Okay, that's warning track power. For a second there, I thought Jose Caballero almost went yard.
That ball carried, man. I didn't think that was getting that close. That ball really carried.
Hang with us here if you're watching and listening, as we're sweating out our primetime game of the night. We're also excited about football. Hopefully we're going to get back into this thing, but what excites you the most about training camp? We'll obviously carry the conversation into the next segment to wrap up the hour.
Nothing. I can't stand training camp. I can't stand all the writers on my timeline.
You don't fall for the videos? Come on now.
I can't stand the writers on my timeline where I'm just trying to scroll through Twitter. I'm having lunch, whatever. And it's, oh, Bryce Young on 3rd and 7 with a dart for 8 yards and a first down. I don't care. I'm going to unfollow you. Leave me alone. We'll get to it on the other side. I'm curious what you think and if there's any betting angles from it. What a bizarre day in the football content world, though.
Yeah.
Our old colleague, Michael Lombardi, and you know, UNC, he's on paid leave. That was one thing. That's how a lot of our days started. You know, it's the elephant in the room. We've all got the text. We've all seen the reports. That was one thing. That's not NFL, but the two NFL ones, Eric Bieniemy and his son, you know, reportedly shot at his wife and the kid's mom. That's a bizarre story, sad story. Hopefully everybody's okay.
Yeah.
I believe stable condition was the last note we saw on that. And then the Kyle Shanahan accident, which happened a couple weeks ago, got completely buried and covered up. So on the other side, we can talk, and maybe there's a betting angle from this, because betting is our thing here. We don't, you know, we're not trying to be insensitive, but boy, just some bizarre stories here from an NFL perspective.
Yeah, bizarre stories in the NFL. Then also you get the regular training camp stories. Vita Vea requested a trade moments before the start of the show. We have a lot to unpack from training camp, and we're going to start to do it when we come back here on Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
My good pal Marcus Semien hit a two-run blast out to left for the New York Mets to make it 5-3 Metropolitans. Love that, Will. Love that, what that New York team is doing. The other New York team, you know, leaves a little to be desired after a passed ball allows a runner to get to second and get into scoring position here in the bottom of the second. So it is 3-0 White Sox. Our VSiN primetime bet of the night, primetime game of the night, but we also, it is our bet of the night, is the first five under 4.5 between the White Sox and the Yankees. And was not a fun first inning. We are hoping that things can slow down. And hopefully Max Fried and Noah Schultz bring their A game the rest of the way. But that's where things stand right now in Major League Baseball. Looks like we're still in a weather delay out in St. Louis between the Cubs and the Cardinals. Are we sure they're going to get this one in? I feel like we're rapidly approaching postponed territory with this game.
I believe 9:30 Eastern start time is what I saw come across my timeline.
Okay, so we got some time.
Recently. By the way, Ryan Glassbeagle checked in at Sports Report, does a great job, front office sports.
Yep.
Because he was tweeting about this Yankees White Sox game, and I asked him, because like, hey, I'm on the air. Like, what happened with that play at third? First inning, first and third, runner on first goes to third on a hit, and he's tagged out after he comes off the base. It's clear as day, but the Yankees didn't challenge. Ryan says he slid under the tag and then came off the base. The White Sox announcer said that the ump said that he was pushed off the base. So maybe that was the scenario that, hey, your guy pushed him off the base, whether we agree with that or not. I kind of don't. I don't think you do either.
Yeah,
that's really something that A is not challengeable, or B, you wouldn't win. So that's probably because we were missing something. He's clear as day. The foot's off the bag. The glove with the ball in it is on the leg. He should be out. But if the ruling is, hey, he got pushed off, that maybe explains it, even though I think that's kind of a ridiculous ruling.
And I feel like if you're going to say he was pushed off, doesn't it need to be egregious? And if it's like if it's egregious, I feel like we would have saw it in real time, you know? Like, now obviously we're doing the show.
I'd love to see it again. It seems like he held the tag on. I mean, you were able to hold the tag on. He didn't like forearm shiver him off the base or anything. Crazy.
Like, we're obviously doing the show, so we're not like super duper locked in, like just watching the game, and that's our only focus. But I feel like we'd have caught it in real time if it was like a pretty bad like push off the bag.
Right.
Felt pretty routine. Looked like Murakami's momentum just took him off the bag, but I don't know, man. I guess we got to take their word for it. It's water under the bridge at this point. I guess it's crying over spilled milk because it's not changing. But yeah, a little bit of a bad break for us, I think, at least. So hopefully Murakami doesn't do more damage here, because we know he is a home run hitter. You know,
if we can get out of this inning and then get a scoreless third, then all of a sudden we're in the fourth where it's like a run per inning. We're kind of back on track. So we need it out here. And obviously the losing run, we're one swing away from just losing the game and putting us out of our misery, which, you know what, doesn't sound like the worst option.
No, it doesn't.
How this game has started. But if we can get out of this and then get a clean third, all of a sudden we're back to where we're like a coin flip. So we've all been on the other side of it plenty of times where you're up 3-0, you have the over 4.5, you're in good shape, and it doesn't get home. So here's the thing, though. Fried doesn't look sharp. He's just kind of battling. This is kind of the Fried I expected the first start back from the injury, where he just guys on base. You know, he's behind in counts. He's behind 3-1 here. He was behind Greichuk on the last batter, 3-0, came back to get him. He just doesn't look sharp tonight.
Yeah, this is what we thought we would see coming off the IL. But and he's going to walk Murakami. But you know what? At this point, walk Murakami. There's two outs. Just walk him. Like I don't want any parts pitching to Murakami, because he will send it into the cheap seats if you put anything in his general vicinity. So walk him, put him on first. It doesn't really hurt us that bad, other than like, I guess one swing of the bat could really just put it over. But one swing out of a bat would have put it over anyways with Murakami at the plate. So I actually agree with it. Like, they should have just honestly just put the four up and just say, just take your base, bro. You know, I guess they wanted him to like see if he would chase something out of the zone. He didn't. He showed good discipline. And now this is a guy that you can at least somewhat try to compete with here after Murakami. But
Fried almost at 50 pitches, by the way, to speak to the point that he's not sharp. 48 pitches as we start this at bat. I mean, you're usually a good kind of guideline for a pitcher is like 13, 14 pitches for inning, 15 if you want to use a round number, which, you know, 30 after two, 45 after three. He's going to be at 50 pitches here, and we're not even through the second as he does start Vargas off with a strike. But hey, we get out of this inning and we can get a clean third. All of a sudden, we're kind of back to even here, and we got a shot to steal it. But got to get this out here. That it all starts with getting this guy.
Hopefully we can get him. That's what we're hoping for. First five under 4.5. Man, we got a lot of runs in Detroit. Orioles up 8-5 on the Tigers in the bottom of the six. What's the live total in this game? My goodness. Live total 15.5 is what I'm seeing right now at DraftKings. Orioles minus 1120 on the money line. No interest there. Tigers plus 585. Definitely no interest there. 15.5 is our live total there. In Miami, where the Marlins, who were once up 5-2, they're riding a 12-game losing streak. They're now down 6-5 and are plus 277 on the money line. Phillies minus 398. That live total is up to 12.5, juiced over minus 194. So those are a couple of games that we're keeping our eye on in Major League Baseball. But last segment, we were discussing the National Football League. And before we get into that, I do want to remind the people out there who are watching and listening. I'm sure you are aware of this, but in case you're not, in case you're a new listener or new viewer, check this out. The Circa Survivor documentary is back bigger than ever with $18.7 million on the line and a new grandissimo format, raising the stakes. Missed episode one? What are you doing? Catch it now on YouTube. Just search VEASAN Live. Episode 2 airs this Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season, whether you play Circa Survivor or just love the drama, you won't want to miss this every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on VEASAN, or catch up anytime on YouTube. Just search VEASAN Live. I will be catching up, Will, probably this time next week on YouTube, since I'm running the gamut here on VEASAN Primetime this week. We'll be in all Monday through Friday. Then I also do live bets Sunday on Sunday. So not a whole lot of time to get caught up on shows, but I'll be watching it next Monday. I'm hoping there's somebody who was also sweating Cowboys over the Giants week two last year, as that was a survivor play for me. It looked like the Cowboys were dead to right. Somehow they were able to come back and win the game. But that's the magic of Circa Survivor. You know, that's the magic of the NFL season, the magic of the witching hour, which I think is the NFL at its absolute peak. And I can't wait for it. We got training camps in the back, but I cannot wait for the live sweats, the live bets. Football is the absolute best.
It is. We teased it before. We started to get into the conversation. I'll start with Shanahan in the accident. And I don't know that there's a betting angle here. I don't think that there is. As Freed does get out of it, boy, it was a laborious, just excruciating at bat.
I mean, what is he, but he gets Vargas to
swing and miss. So we're alive, man. That's 60. It feels like 160. Yeah. You're good at this stuff again. I don't know that it leads to bed. I don't think that it does. What do you make? You're very savvy when it comes to the media. Shanahan gets into an accident. People knew about it. Nobody reported it. He can't coach right now because he's still dealing with head injuries. Mm-hmm. The 49ers were happy to sweep this under the rug. And if he was fine, I don't think we would have ever heard about it. Oh. What's your take? What happened? Why the cover up? And again, what a strange story this is, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the cover up makes you wonder, well, what actually happened? Which is like oftentimes like the cover up is kind of what makes people interested. Like if you just told us, hey, Shanahan got into an accident, blah, 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 and like gave us all the news
nobody
items.
Cares. Yep.
Nobody cares. Now, if it's like salacious stuff or something that's like really bad, then yeah, like then people would care. But you would then after the news cycle, people would move on with their lives. But now it's going to stay in the news cycle because there's going to be the internet sleuths who are out there trying to figure out what exactly went down. Why it went down this way? Well, we know the NFL is a fraternity, right? Like, you know, like all these insiders, where do they get their information? A lot of the times from the teams. That could be general managers. It could be scouts. It could be coaches. It could be all the above. Shanahan is a prominent coach, and he's also a coach that is well-connected. His father was a phenomenal head coach. His father had him on his staff, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, all these dudes that are like a part of this tree. You piss off one, I'm assuming you probably piss off a lot of them. So I'm assuming that is how it ended up not getting reported. Like, and yes, this is me kind of calling out the media for doing the buddy buddy system, but like, it is what it is. You know, like that's part of the game. I think everyone out there who has followed football or any sport and you see how things are reported, you are hip to this being a way that's like people get protected if they like you. Now, if they don't like you, or if you're a player and let's say you're not repped by like one of the big time agents or whatever, like we weren't all wondering what happened to Terrion Arnold. That stuff came out, didn't it? You know? Like it all came out right there. Like we weren't wondering on that, but Kyle Shanahan, it's like, oh, you got an accident. Well, what happened? Don't worry about that. What? Like it's strange. I don't think it's going to impact their season. I think the Niners are still going to be a really good team. One of the contending teams. I think they're like a top five team in the league, and we can get into that conversation a little bit later on as we still have a couple hours to go in the show. But just from like a media standpoint and how this has been reported, it just reeks of the cronyism that is the National Football League.
Yeah, and again, nothing where I'm like, oh, now I got to bet the under or bet against them week one. But, you know, it is one of the premier head coaches who's not able to coach the team right now. And again, just a very strange news cycle here on Monday for a lot of different reasons.
And especially the fact that like he's not able to coach the team. You would wonder, okay, well, like, yes, like we know what happened was he got in a car accident, but like, how did he get into a car accident? You know?
Right.
Like was something nefarious going on? Was it just a happy accident? Or like, obviously not happy, but like, was it just like, you know, just like a run-of-the-mill accident or whatever like that? So people are going to be curious, and they're always going to be curious when you restrict information from them. It's like, what, the Streisand effect? Not to this extent, but a little bit with this Kyle Shanahan story. All right, we got the professor, Aaron Moore, joining us at the top of the hour, and he has thoughts on the NL Cy Young. We'll get to them here next on VSiN Primetime.